And I want to ask you a question. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to begin here. Then I'm going to touch on some things that I talked about last week. But I want to check your approval ratings. Amen? Did you know that we have approval ratings in our world today? There are different things that get analyzed, and they have... So I want to check on your approval numbers. Are you approved of God? All right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And he's talking here to a minister, but it applies to everybody. Say, it applies to me. And let's begin in verse 15. Study. Everybody say study.
Study.
To and be, and I'm reading from the Amplified. So study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved or tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. How many know that God is not opposed to study? Amen? You know, did you know that it was God who came up with the original master's degree? Taught by in the school of the Holy Spirit. You can get a master's degree. You can study the word. The only way that you're going to be approved by God is if you study the word. And the only way we know that you're studying the word is if you do it. Don't try to convince anyone that you're a student, that you study the word and you never do it. You know, when a student studies, what are they going to have to take eventually? A test. And the information that they should have been studying should be on the test. All right? And that word study, I just looked it up in the Strong's dictionary. That word study means to use speed, to make effort, to be prompt or earnest, to give diligence, to endeavor, to labor, to study. Say, God's not opposed to study. That's the only way that He will approve you, is if you study. What should we study? The Word of God. All right? And then that word approved, a workman approved, that means acceptable or tried. How many know that? Who are you going to stand or fall before? Are you going to stand or fall before men? No, because once you leave this earth, the influence of men will cease. So who are you going to stand before? God. So we are either approved or not approved by God. So in other words, we got to live according to God's standards. How many know that God has a different standard than man, right? What does the Bible say? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And does He expect us to come up? Amen? He already came down. He already became human. There's no excuse that you can give God why you can't study. Let me say that again. There's no excuse that you can give to God that is acceptable as to why you're not studying the Word. The less you study the Word, the greater drop in approval rating you'll have. The greater you study the Word, your approval numbers are going to go up. Amen? How many want to please God? And, you know, in today's world, it's not always easy to do, is it? There's a lot of distractions. We're so busy You know, people nowadays wonder what they would ever do without a cell phone. Well, what'd you do before you had a cell phone? Amen? So that word approved also means to seem truthfully or to be accounted of or to please. All right? And then he said, a workman. How many are workers for God? What does a worker do? He does work. She does work, right? What are the works that we are to do? Ones that originate from God. That word workman means a toiler, a teacher, a laborer. And I thought this was interesting. It means to toil as an effort or an occupation. How many has worked or is working at one time in their life? Amen? And you're given an assignment, you're given a job description or a job duty, and whoever employs you expects you to fulfill that obligation, right? And did you know that God expects you to fulfill your obligation to study the word so that you can be approved of him? Not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if he tells us that you can rightly divide the word, that means you can wrongly divide the word, right? So how will you prevent yourself from wrongly dividing the word? What are you going to do to prevent you from wrongly dividing the word? Study. Say it again. Say study. Oh, we thought we could just breeze through life without having to study. I don't think so. You know that oftentimes God equates his word to that of something you have to mine. Do you find gold just sitting on top of the ground? How about oil? Do you find oil just sitting on top of the ground? Maybe in some spots, but it's very rare just to find it sitting on top of the ground. What do you have to do to get oil out of the earth? You got to drill. What do you have to do to get gold or silver out of the earth? You got to dig, right? See, because some of the most valuable things, they're available to you, but they're hidden. And you got to search for them. You got to seek him out, okay? I was just thinking about this today, all right? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And I will touch on some things from last week because I think that's important, but we need to become students of the Word. And we have to increase our study. You know, it's not, when you study the word, it's not quantity. I always, you know, if we were in a wrestling match and you could say, and here's Douglas Pishka in this corner with 150 scriptures, and there's this person in this corner with 200 scriptures. It's not how many scriptures you know, but it's how many scriptures you do. Because people can quote the word. Did you know that the devil quotes the word? He doesn't necessarily quote it accurately. But didn't he tell Adam and Eve? Didn't God say, you're not going to die? Or he told Jesus, throw yourself over the cliff and the angels will not let your foot dash against the stone. But Jesus responded with the truth. He said, it is written. Where did Jesus know where it was written? How did Jesus know that where what Satan was tempting him was written? How did he know? He studied. Did you know that he didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old? He spent 30 years studying the scripture. That's when he walked into the church and he opened up the scroll of Isaiah, he knew exactly where it was talking about him. He read the exact portion. How did he know where that was? At some point, Jesus must have studied. He must have learned. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, or verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily." Say daily. Daily. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So we've got to encourage people every day not to be hardened. You know, a person who becomes hard is one who hasn't studied. Because when you study the word, it is like water to your soul. It is like a calmness. It is like rest. When you study the word, it'll keep you vibrant. It'll keep you lively. The word of God is life to those that find them, and health to all your flesh. So the word of God, we've got to study. Verse 14, and I'm reading from the Amplified. "For we have become fellows with Christ, the Messiah, and share in all he has for us, if only we hold our first newborn confidence and original assured expectation firm and unshaken to the end." Verse 15 says, "Then while it is called today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion in the desert, when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them." You don't want to tick God off. Amen? You say, "Oh, well, God is a loving God." Yeah, but God can get ticked off too. You go read back in Israel and see how many times he wanted to wipe out the people. And Moses said, "Are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Moses would get right there in between the people and thank God for Moses, or Israel would have been wiped out because they were so hardened. Because even though they heard what God said, they never studied what he said. See, when you study something, what do? You commit it to memory. So that when you get to the test, you know exactly what the answer is because you spent time studying. See, when you study, it's the process of digesting the word. If I was to give Elliot a piece of pizza right now, what would you do with that piece of pizza? And where would that pizza go after you eat it? And it becomes a part of you, right? See, so that's what we got to do with the word. Now, you wouldn't take that piece of pizza and shove the whole piece in your mouth, would you? No, because you would choke on it. See, so what you got to do is you got to take it in bite sizes, bit by bit. You know, you don't take the whole word and you go, "Hum, hum, hum, I'm the word monster, hum, 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 hum." Like the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street. You take it in small doses. First, you start with milk. Then you should graduate to meat. But too many Christians are teethless and they can't handle the meat. They're still on milk. I'm not going to go there. And Hebrews chapter 4. And verses 11. Okay? Listen to what the Amplified says. "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God." Did you know that a person who studies is going to have less anxiety on a test than a person who hasn't? You know, when you have anxiety about a test, it just means that you're unprepared. But when you study, it builds up confidence in you. And you can go. See, preparation time is never lost time. When God wanted me to go into the ministry, I didn't have any ministerial background. My father sold insurance. Health insurance, life insurance, auto insurance. He wasn't a preacher. The closest thing that I had to a preacher in my family was my brother and my grandfather and his brothers were auctioneers. That was the closest thing that I had to preaching in my family. And I was very shy. When people would come over to the house, I would hide. And look at what happened. Now I'm standing in front of groups of people. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse, we got to strive. Notice what verse 12 says. For the word of God, the word that God speaks, is alive and full of power. Say, the word is alive and full of power. King James says it's quick and powerful. That word quick means alive. When the Bible says to quicken, he means to make alive. So he spent the time before talking about entering into his rest. So here's what happens. God has given you his word. And his word applies to every area of life. It'll make you a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, a better employee, a better servant, a better worker, a better person. Is there any area in the that the Bible doesn't cover that we deal with in life? No. It covers marriage, it covers kids, it covers church, it covers bosses, it covers attitude, it covers even the things that we don't see, the things that are inside. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word has got an edge to it on both sides. It'll cut you up, it'll cut you down. It'll cut you left, it'll cut you right. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? But thank God, that truth will set you free too. So when we study, we get to a place of rest. And that means we cease from our labor. So when you study and you get to where you come to a test, and having studied, you don't have to really do anything to pass that test, because you have studied to enter into his rest, into that place where you cease from your own works. And then now it's just the word that's working in you. See, you're not doing the work, you're letting the word work. That's what we got to study for. We got to study so that the word is working in us and through us and to us. And it's a place of rest. It's a place of confidence. It's a place of security. How do you get there? You got to study. You got to go through the effort. You got to go through the diligence. You got to go through the process of studying the word of God, because it will save your life. The word will save your life. And when you become a Christian, we have to retrain ourselves. You know, if you've ever had a puppy requires training, doesn't it? And how does that puppy get trained? Through repetition. Over and over and over again. Eventually, that puppy will know what that command means. You know, we had a dog by default when we lived in Tennessee. We had a fenced-in yard, and someone dropped a puppy off at Fiona's best friend's apartment. It was a white Labrador retriever. Beautiful, beautiful dog. Well, she was in an apartment. She couldn't have a dog in the apartment. So we had a fenced-in yard. It seemed like a perfect match. And I wasn't working at the time. Fiona was working, so I took the dog into where she worked. See, this was my plan. Everybody liked the dog because how cute the dog was. They're like, oh, this dog's so cute. So guess what? We end up with a dog. And when we first got the dog, Fiona was afraid of that dog. That dog would come and she would get on the chair. But you know what? She taught that dog to give high fives. You would tell that dog, give me five, and that dog would put up her paw and give you five. She taught the dog how to give high five. She had to do it a couple times, over and over, repetition. What? She was helping that dog study. Now, if we can train a dog to do tricks, don't you think that we can train us to be Christians? Amen? But it's going to require some study, some effort. All right? And this is how we be approved of God. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not, say not, in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, some people spend more time studying the ungodly than they do the godly. And they're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, I heard on television. Sometimes the television doesn't offer good counsel. And you know how you can tell who your counselor is? By your actions and your words. You can tell who you've been taking counsel from. And because they'll come out. But it says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But, say but. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That means he loves the law. He has a passion about the law. He goes after the law. We've got to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it. Is that what he says? Meditate it how long? Day and night, all day long. Does that mean that all you're doing is scripture and you don't do anything else? No. But did you know that while you're doing the dishes, you can be meditating on scripture? While you're sowing, you could be meditating on scripture. While you're mowing the grass, you know, while you're taking a shower. I don't know what it is about a shower, but that's when God speaks to Fiona. She comes out of the shower with revelation and truth. She's like, oh, I just heard this, you know. Those are some holy showers, man. Yeah, holy water. But do you see, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort. See, because when you delight in the law of the Lord, when you delight in something, it's on your mind. You're thinking about it. You're, and the more you think about it, the more it gets revealed to you. So you got to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Day and meditate in it day and night. And you shall be like a tree planted by the river. Did you know that a tree doesn't grow up overnight? An oak tree is just one crazy nut that held its ground. Well, if you take an acorn and you plant it into the ground, it's not going to be an oak tree tomorrow or next week or maybe even a year from now. But what's going to happen? That tree is going to dig deep. It's going to find the water source. And it's going to draw its life, it's going to draw its nutrients from the water, and it's going to grow, and it's going to get strong, and it's going to get big, and it's going to develop shade, and it's going to spread out, it's going to branch out. Pretty soon, you can climb in that tree because it had developed its strength. But in order to do that, you got to study, you got to meditate, you got to discipline yourself. Because the things of God are not automatic. You must go after them. They don't have a car yet that I know of that drives itself. Do they? Where all you have to do is just hit a button and you don't even have to hit the gas or steering. That thing will just drive itself and get to your destination. No, when you get behind the wheel, you've got to drive, you've got to steer. And how many know that we don't like backseat drivers? Because they don't have the steering wheel, they don't have the gas, unless you're in driver's ed. Then they have a brake. But you got to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Go with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua. How many would say that Joshua was a success in life? He conquered 33 kings. That means he took over 33 territories, kingdoms. He defeated 33 kings. Well, you know what? He operated on this principle in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. The Lord told Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, if you're going to get it out of your mouth, you're going to have to get it in your heart. You're going to have to get it in your mind, and it's going to have to get into your heart in order for it to come out of your mouth. This book of the law, say, shall not depart out of my mouth. Well, how are you going to make sure that you're always speaking the word? Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. Well, if you're not looking in the word, how are you observing? You got to look to see what you got to do. I have yet to see a blind man driving. And if they drive, they're not going to drive too far. You've got to be able to see where you're going. So you've got to look into the law of the Lord. You've got to look at yourself every day. Am I lining up with God's standard? Am I being approved of God? This is your only standard that you should go by. You don't have to look to the pastor and say, am I being approved to the pastor? No, I'm not your standard. I'm not the Lord Jesus. I'm simply his mailman. I deliver you the message and the package. And then what you do with that package and message, that's up to you. Amen? But meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, he doesn't want you to miss anything. You're supposed to do it all. Well, God gives you a lifetime to do it all. Thank God that we don't have a week to study for the word. You know, there's no cramming for Christianity. I used to cram when I was in college because I procrastinated and I became very good at it. I became a procrastinator. Now, I know that no one in here deals with procrastination, but I did and I still do sometimes. I have to give myself a kick in the cans. So you have to go through this process to be approved of God. You have to study. Because he said, when you do that, then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Did you know that your prosperity comes from the word? It doesn't come from your job. Your job just happens to be an avenue. But your source is God. How did God create this world? He spoke the word. And that word brought things into existence. They weren't there before until he spoke. But when he spoke, the Holy Spirit then activated that word. It's like he lit it on fire. And when he lit that word on fire, it came to pass. So, what's your approval rating? You know how much you study or how much you don't study. But studying is going to make the difference between success or failure in any endeavor. How many know the story of when Peter and the other disciples were in the boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water? Okay? And Peter called out to him and said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Now, Jesus, the word said that he responded by saying, come, right? He didn't say, come, Peter, did he? He said, come, because he was addressing everyone that was in that boat. Everybody in that boat could have stepped out of that boat, but only one stepped out because he was walking on the word. What word did he have? He had an invitation from the word to come. So because the word said come, he knew that he had the ability. Why? Because you know that Peter studied the word for 3.5 years. He fellowshiped with Jesus. And Peter got to go where some of the other disciples didn't get to go. Peter, James, and John got to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to go to the garden. They got to go to a few other places. So in every endeavor, they were studying the Word. They were studying Jesus. They were studying his responses, you know? And they marveled when they walked by the fig tree. And Peter saw that it had shriveled up because the Word spoke. He said, Master, the tree that you cursed is dried up from the ground, from the root. He was amazed at the results that the Word produced. And it took Peter 3.5 years, but there was something wrong with Peter. He always acted without thinking. He spoke without thinking. He was a man of action. Whether right or wrong, he would act. And oftentimes he would have fillet of sole because he'd put his foot in his mouth and he'd have fillet of sole. But there came a point in time, and see, Peter wasn't studying. The Word told Peter that Satan desires to sift you. He had a warning. He said, Satan desires to sift you, but I pray that your faith fail not. You know, there are some that Satan desires to sift. Satan is after some of you. But you know what? He can't win. And Jesus was telling Peter a warning. Did you know that the Word will warn you of things ahead? He warned Joseph that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Joseph was the only person in Egypt that had that information. Why? Because he had a relationship with the Word. He studied the Word. How do we know? Because he kept his attitude even in stressful times. Joseph did not compromise when he was tempted with Potiphar's wife. He did not compromise when he was forgotten about in the jail. He interpreted the dream of the baker and the butler, and they forgot about him 2 years. They got out in 2 years. They didn't say anything about him, even though his interpretation was accurate. But because he had studied. At that time, Joseph didn't have anything written to study, but he could converse with God. He studied and he passed the test. And because he passed the test, he was risen to the most prosperous place in Egypt. He controlled the whole money of the nation. He was like our Ben Bernanke today, but it was Joseph. He was a godly man. Do you think that he must have studied to pass those tests that he faced? You're going to have tests and trials. But how come when Jesus spoke to the people in the boat, how come only one responded? Peter was the only one. And I'm convinced that because he did that then, he was the first one to step out on the day of Pentecost and preach. Even though he failed a couple tests along the way. Thank God, you know, if you fail the test, there's grace. Amen. God will restore. And, you know, last week we talked about receiving from God. How do you receive from God? Number one, you got to hear. Number two, you got to believe. Number three, you got to obey. And number four, you got to act. And that's how we have to study the Word. We have to study the Word because just coming to service is not enough. You know, if you only ate on Sunday and on Wednesday, you wouldn't be as strong as you could be. You know? Some of us eat 3 times a day. Well, if you're going to receive from God, you're going to have to study His Word. The Word of God is the primary way how God speaks. It's the Logos, it's the written Word. It captures His thoughts. Did you know that God's Word will never return void unto Him? God's Word is not empty. It's not vain. But it's powerful. It's life-giving. You know, There was a time in my life where I fell in love with the Word. And it happened when I got born again, and then after I backslid. In my late teens, around the ages of 16, I backslid. And I got into the party scene. And I would go out and do things that I shouldn't do. But you know what? I got tired of that quickly. And I came to a point in my life where I said, I'm going to quit this lifestyle, this road that I'm heading down, and I'm going to change my direction. And so I did. You know what I did? I went into the Christian bookstore, and I bought my first Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And I literally got into that Bible till it was literally falling apart. I have my fourth Thompson Chain Reference Bible in my bag. Now, let me just show you something. See, this is a Thompson Chain Reference. And the reason I recommend this is because I'm familiar with it. And this was the Bible that I bought when, after I had backslid. And if you like studying, it's got a lot of resources to study. But, you know, this is, I mean, look at this one. It's kind of wearing out, too. I don't know how many years I've had this one. But my point is this. I fell in love with the Word. And it was when I fell in love with the Word and I made the Word of God a priority, I made studying the Word a priority, that I began to hear God's voice more clearer. God may be able to speak to you here and there if you're not studying the Word, but if you're studying the Word, His voice is going to be more clearer. And you're going to be able to understand it better, because this is the language that God speaks. This is the language that the Holy Spirit speaks. You know, the Holy Spirit, he authored the book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were just transcribers of what the Holy Spirit gave them. But you got to fall in love with this Word for you, because it will change your life. But you got to get into it so that it can get into you. And I want to encourage you to study the Word. Find out what the Word of God says about finances, or about fear, or about challenges that you would face, the unknown. What does the Word of God say about the unknown? What does the Word say about healing? What does the Word of God say about purity and holiness? And the only way that you're going to effectively pass the test that we face, all of us face tests. Tests are a part of life. But thank God we can take an open book test. But you've got to study. You've got to put forth the effort. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman. You know, if you haven't studied the Word, and when you come up against a test, you're going to be ashamed if you haven't studied. A workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to rightly divide it. You got to interpret it. You know, there's ways to interpret the Bible. Who is he talking to? Who did the writing? Do you know that people quote something from Job? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did you know that that didn't come from God? That came from Job. And it's recorded for our reference, but that is not an inspired statement. And people say that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. No, look at the whole context of the Bible. Does the Lord take away? No, He gives. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. So you got to look at the context of the whole Bible. You can't just take one scripture. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No, He didn't. If you understand that that word is in the permissive and not in the causative, you got to do a little study. You got to do a little research. If you want to get the good stuff in the Word, you got to dig. You got to study. You got to get into it. Amen? And if you study the word, it'll help you receive from God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I break every yoke of bondage that may be on the people here tonight, Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over every person's mind, over every person's body, over every person's finances, over every person's family, over every person's relationships, Father, in the name of, I plead the blood of Jesus over every job. And Lord, and I thank you that you have placed us where we are so that we can be a light. And I pray, Lord, that we would shine for the glory of God where we're at. And Lord, I just give you thanks and praise that we're coming up higher tonight. Lord, we commit to be students of the word, to study, to show ourselves approved unto you. Father, we love your word. We delight in your word. Say this with me. Say, Father, I delight in your word. Your word is joy to my heart. Your word calms my soul. Your word eliminates fear. Your word is the strength of my life. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might. Your word is a mighty weapon. It defeats every enemy. Your word is my victory. Your word is my song. Your word is my provision. Your word is my healing. Your word is my freedom. Your word is my peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So go and study the word. You know, and enjoy your freedom. Amen. And if you've come tonight ready to give an offering, you can give an offering and you will be blessed for your giving. And you can never outgive God, and hallelujah, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah.